Yes, this is the part that Brian's been looking forward to all week.
I'm from Sweden.
This is a true story. Four Welshmen got on a train, and they sat next to four Englishmen. The four Welshmen only had one ticket between them, and they seen the ticket inspector coming down the aisle. They all got up and went into the toilet. After a couple of minutes, there was a knock on the door. "Tickets, please." Ticket came under the door, kicked it, pushed it back under. After about 10 minutes, they came out, course was clear, and they took their seats again. Well, the four Englishmen was gobsmacked at this. Thought, what a fantastic idea. So coming back, they decided that they would do the same trick. So they got on the train, one ticket between them. On go the four Welshmen, sat down next to them. Down the aisle comes the ticket inspector. So the four Englishmen get up and go into the toilet. Then the four Welshmen, they get up and go into the toilet next door. After a couple of minutes, there's a knock on the Englishman's toilet. "Ticket, please." And the ticket comes under the door. One of the Welshmen picks it up and goes back in his toilet. I know what the outcome of that was.
Racist jokes.
I want to take a look this morning at 2 Samuel chapter 12, and we're reading from 1 to about verse 10. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. It ate of its own food and drank from its own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveller came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of the Israelite and Judah. If that had not been, if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife.'" I was drawn to that scripture by recent news headlines. Britain has a severe shortage of doctors and nurses. So what do we do about it? Do we attract people into the profession? Do we spend many training them? Yes, we spend some money, but nowhere near enough. What do we do to cover our inadequacies? We go to the poor countries, who spend what little resources they have on training doctors and nurses. We offer them 10 times their salaries, and we leave their country worse off. The politicians then tell us they are doing all they can to resolve the problem. They waste money on agency staff. They could employ 10 nurses for the cost of one agency nurse. A friend of mine who's a nurse, she said one of these agency nurses, she had £2,000 over an Easter weekend. How many people realise or even care that the actions of the government make God angry? It should be the other way around. We should be sending and paying for the medical staff for the disadvantaged. In 2 Samuel 12 is a very heavy passage. God doesn't mince his words or pull any punches. Now Nathan must have been a very brave man. God used him to deliver a cryptic message to the king. A king who had killed people, tens of thousands of people. King David could easily have sentenced Nathan to death. Nathan risked his life to tell the truth. Can you think of anyone who has spoken up about raiding poor countries and taking the most valuable assets? Most issues are black or white, while some are many shades of grey. If you were in hospital needing constant nursing, I doubt if you would question where she came from, or if you were nursed at someone else's expense. But that could be the reality. For us to gain, someone has to lose. I don't know anyone who complains about winning, but we should be concerned about those who can't afford to complain about losing. I heard recently there are 4 bones in the body of Christ. There's jaw bones, wish bones, knuckle bones, and back bones. The jaw bones, they are the people who only talk about problems and issues. They don't fix anything. They don't improve anything. When the hot air goes cold, nothing has changed. And wishbones, well, wishbones, they are the people who wish someone else would do it, or they wish the issue would go away, wish it was maybe someone else's problem. Well, knuckle bones, they are the people who knock the work or ideas of others. My opinion, the knuckle bones are mostly aimed at people, the sound principles. Then you have the backbones. They are the ones who get under the load and carry it. The jaw bones talk about them. The wish bones wish there was more of them. The knuckle bones direct the blows at them. And the backbones, they carry on. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there is a time for everything. It gives 14 examples of a time for, and 14 examples of a time for the opposite. How do we adapt to the examples? Well, we take the ones we like, don't we? And we reject the ones we don't. A time to be born, time to die. Well, we like the being born part, but let's forget about the second part. Let's forget about dying. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Well, we like laughing and dancing, so we'll just take those two. Thank you very much. And so on. Just taking the bits we like. We are really a selfish lot, aren't we? It's not confined to humans only. I feed the birds in the garden with the maggots I've got left over from fishing. The robins won't share with other robins. The male blackbird won't share with another male blackbird, or with the song thrushes for that matter. By the time they see off the other birds, half the food is gone. In years gone by, I have taken bags of stale bread to feed the wild horses on the mountains. They see you are carrying a bag, and they race over the frozen ground towards you. They'll surround you, but they are as gentle as lambs. When you empty the bag on the ground, most of them immediately start eating the crusts. But there's always one horse who doesn't want another horse to have a crust. When they finish their little argument, all the food is gone. On a cold, freezing winter's day, a starving horse would choose to fight before eating. It's a flawed mentality shared by a lot of God's creation. I think I may have used this quotation before by Albert Einstein. The world will not be destroyed by people who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. The thread of reason is broken. If we were asked to write down things we considered evil, most of us would have very similar opinions. Murder, rape, child abuse would perhaps be top of the list. David took another man's wife, and we take another man's doctors. Throughout the winter, we can buy kidney beans grown in Kenya. Well, the farmers there, their cattle die from lack of water. How evil is that? When I was in my late teens, it cost a week's wages to buy a fishing reel. It's about £20. Today, you can buy a reasonable reel for £20. When you take into account the profit for the tackle shop, profit for the manufacturers, the cost of the parts, the cost of shipping, someone's being exploited. Isn't that evil? It's everywhere. It's all the time. The whole world takes only from Ecclesiastes 3 the parts they like. I suppose you've all heard of an organization called DBS. It stands for Boycott, Disinvestment and Sanctions. It's aimed at Israel. It's like the blackbird in my garden or the horses on the mountain. It lacks common sense. In Israel, there was a company called SodaStream. They had shops around the world. They employed 500 Palestinian people in their plant. Members of BDS protested outside their shops. The shops and the manufacturing plant closed. 500 Palestinians lost their jobs. They lost well-paid jobs. 500 families cast adrift in a sea of uncertainty. And BDS classed this as a victory. They haven't got the common sense of most of the horses on the mountains. BDS is also badgering pension managers to disinvest in Israeli companies. In America, the Methodists and Presbyterians have already fallen for this propaganda. The trustees of the pension schemes, however, are obligated to get the best returns for their investors. So there may be some legal ramifications in the future. None of their tactics is to force shops to clearly display signs saying produce of Israel and all their goods. Then they would target people not to buy them. But if I meant this, my shopping trolley would be full of goods, clearly displaying produce of Israel. See, these people, they got double standards. I wonder, would they say the children cannot have an injection for polio because it was invented by an Israelite. I wondered if they had to go into a hospital, would they say not going in at the body scanner, because it's Israeli technology. I wonder would they be prepared to fly on planes if we took out all the Israeli machines that detect weapons and bombs. Again, they take what they want and forget the rest. I would categorise BDS as a knuckle bone. Jawbones and wishbones have no effect on them. The only answer is backbone. The jawbones will appease them, give them what they want. They think the problem will go away, it will not. They'll just come back for more. If you haven't got your foundations perfect, you'll have trouble building your house. If you do manage to build it, it won't be long before cracks appear. The cracks in today's world are caused by bad foundations. Sometime in everybody's life, you will come across a crossroads. Imagine that you are at that crossroad and someone has chopped the sign down. How do you know which way to go? Well, if you know where you've come from, all you have to do is to point the sign in the direction you know where you've come from. The other three will then point in the right direction. If you don't know where you've come from, if you think you've come from monkeys, need I say more? But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Put your backbone into it. You will be against jawbones, knuckle bones, and wishbones, but you will win. We've often said to you that something will happen and we can feel that God's hand is on it. Well, God's at work again. Annette should have been leading the worship today and Sharon playing, but I think the machine went wrong, so Jan stepped in, is that right?
Right.
Yeah, well, here we are. Jan offered. Well, on a Friday, there's usually a couple of programs on television that we want to watch. So we watch the rugby, and I tape Middle East Report. But last Saturday, we went home, sat down, put Middle East Report on. If you haven't watched it, you're missing something. It's really good. And at the end of it, there was a song. And I thought, gosh, that would fit in my sermon absolutely perfect. So I thought, I wonder can my friend, my clever friend, Jan, find it? Right, I had the guy's name wrong. I didn't know the name of the song. I thought his name was Ari Nessa.
Yeah.
So I phoned up Jan, and she said, oh, I'll have a look now. Well, I'd hardly got the words out of my mouth. Oh, it's not Ari Nessa, it's Ari Lester.
Lesser.
Yeah, right.
I was on the computer when you phoned.
Yeah. So I said, well, have you got any of his songs there? She said, I got two. She said, I'll play you the one now. I said, no, that's a rhythm, but it's not the right words. So I played, that's it. Now, when you look at all that, I can see God's hand in it. Yeah, I can see God's hand in it. It's not a particularly religious song. There is one line in it I don't agree with. It's a political song, but it's people getting things wrong, stealing from the poor, doing everything terrible, everything awful. But it's a song I think will make you think. So thanks to Jan, we can have a little listen to this now.
And it was rap.
Boy, high is rare if you think that's just. But unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott North Korea. I don't think you'll see a country in the world that could be unfree. Boycott China. Let's not forget they stole the whole country of Tibet. Boycott Japan for slaughtering thousands of helpless innocent whales and dolphins. Boycott Vietnam where they choose to use drug addicts and slaves to shell cashews. Boycott Cambodia, grabbing up land 5 million acres from the poor man's hand. Boycott Thailand for shutting the door and deporting refugees back to the war. Boycott Burma, don't let your cash slip into the grip of that military dictatorship. Boycott India, women can't escape when the government officials are guilty of rape. Boycott Pakistan, crazy country where they execute people for blasphemy. And boycott Afghanistan, opium land where the poppy fields stand in the Taliban's hand. And boycott Israel if you think that's just. But unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Syria, their government's killing thousands of innocent unarmed civilians. Boycott Iraq, make them change the laws. They lock up and torture people without cause. Boycott Iran, with the greatest rate of execution out of every other state. Boycott Turkey, because they've always denied and lied about the Armenian genocide. Boycott Turkmenistan, where the only media that you ever see is what the president of media. Boycott Uzbekistan, government's rotten, enslaving children to harvest cotton. Boycott Russia, because every year more Muslims mysteriously disappear. Boycott Ukraine, where the politicians lock up the opposition so there's no competition. Boycott Belarus, presidents gotta go. You know those elections are just for show. And boycott Germany, cause there's no reparation for murdering half the Jewish population. And boycott Israel if you think that's just. But unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations with allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Sudan, the Darfur genocide, where hundreds of thousands have already died. Boycott Egypt and don't let that narrow-minded president keep acting like Pharaoh. Boycott Saudi Arabian oppression, the women getting beat up, treated like possessions. Boycott Bahrain police brutality against the Shiites by the Sunni monarchy. Boycott Yemen, make them stop the obscene execution of juveniles under 18. Boycott Eritrea, national slavery, where they work for free indefinitely. Boycott the Congo, doing terrible things to sell blood diamond engagement rings. And boycott Zimbabwe, you find all kind of torture behind those government mines. And boycott South Africa, make them pay for the hundreds of women raped every day. Boycott Ivory Coast, sound the alarm. There's thousands of slaves on those cocoa farms. And boycott Israel if you think that's just. But unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations for allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news. Boycott Chile because they deny abortions, even if the mother would die. And boycott Brazil, where the brutal police kill thousands of people to keep the peace. Boycott Venezuela, closer inspection shows that the socialists stole the election. Boycott Colombia, putting out the lights of anyone who fights for union rights. Boycott Ecuador for stealing the land of indigenous people for their corporate plans. And boycott Costa Rica, where they've applied so much pesticide that hundreds have died. Boycott Honduras, where a journalist gets shot if he writes anything like this. Boycott atomic hot Mexico in the war on drugs. The military acts like a cartel, cause boycott the USA, make them pay for torturing people in Guantanamo Bay, and boycott Cuba. But if the government hears you criticize them, you'll be locked up for years. Boycott is bad if you think that's just, but unless you have a double standard, you must also boycott the rest of the nations for allegations of human rights violations. We're not perfect, but if you think we're the worst, first take a look at the rest of the earth. Don't pick and choose to pick on the Jews. Pick up the paper and read the news.
I had to have a glass of water, just listening to that, them singing it, you had to drink the reservoir dry. We don't realise what is going on in the world, and when people are against Israel and just turning their back on what we just saw then, we just know that we need a lot of backbones. So thanks again for that, John. Without you, it wouldn't have been anything.
We got one more. Mm-hmm. Oh.